Okay, let's. We're going to continue into ASHRAE tonight. Just to review, we gave a general hakadama in the first year about why ASHRAE is important, what it's meant to represent in our relationship with Hashem, and then we discussed the opening two introductory psukim of ASHRAE Yoshvei Secha and ASHRAE Mishkach Halo, and we explained what they're doing there, what the purpose is, in order to focus us on the idea that we're going to praise Hashem, avodas Hashem, that we break from the regular day. We take time in order to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now we're set to say ASHRAE. Now, we're going to do another kind of introduction tonight. We're not going to get into anything specific. I apologize. I know it's going slowly, but I want to discuss ASHRAE as a whole tonight. I want to learn the whole Perek from beginning to end as a unit. So if you have a sitter in front of you, that would probably be helpful. I'll pause for 10 seconds for anybody to get a sitter if they need a sitter. We're going to try to do the whole Perek as an overview, in order to show you the entire structure, because the Pesukim certainly fit together in this Mizmor, and David HaMelech certainly had a theme that he wanted to discuss. So tonight, we'll probably be on the shorter end, but we're going to discuss what exactly the overview of it, of ASHRAE. So at least this coming week, when we're saying ASHRAE and our davening, we should be able to follow a progression of three or four main themes we're trying to build on top of one another as we go through ASHRAE. And then, with the help of Hashem, next week we're going to get into the particulars. We'll go pasuk by pasuk, and we'll bring out the different hashkafic ideas as we go through them. Okay, everyone's ready? Yes, the brave people who turn their cameras on Zoom, and the not as brave people, we love you too. But let's jump right in. So, the structure of ASHRAE. It is clear that we're going to learn that ASHRAE contains many lofty sodos, many remazim, very very significant ideas. However, it's not going to be our topic tonight, as we said before. The introduction we want to do tonight is just understand the pshat. What is the pshat in ASHRAE in what we're saying? Now, there are a number of mahalchim, a number of approaches in the Achronim, in the later commentaries to explain it. And I'm pretty much going to say what everybody else is saying. There's no real chidushim tonight. There's no novel ideas. How is it that we understand the flow, the theme, the main ideas of ASHRAE? Now, we already mentioned that Tehillah LeDavid, Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei, is the central anthem of Shevach of Hashem. If there's one thing, if there's one piece in all of Tanakh that speaks to praising Hashem, it's ASHRAE, and Hashem is Melech HaOlam, and that this Mizmor, which is in the order of the Aleph Beis, contains a complete overview of every single thing a person needs to know in order to praise Hashem. Every single thing that a person needs to be guided in order to give Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this capital, in this chapter of Tehillim. So let's begin with the opening psukim. The opening psukim of ASHRAE, the first part, is a hakdama. It's an introduction to the concept of giving shevach to Hashem. I'll admit, it takes a while to get there. A lot of it is a big opening, but I think you'll see the psukim as we read them together. The first part of ASHRAE begins, Tehillah LeDavid, Aramimcha Elokai HaMelech, Ve'avracha Shimcha Li'olam Ve'ed. Now, I'm going to translate from the Living Tanakh translation. That's the set that was originally guided by Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan. There's the Living Torah translation, and his machon, his publishing house, used his style to translate the rest of Tanakh. Happens to think that their translation flows very nicely. It's not very like Altar God, you know, that old style of English. It's a very nice translation. So I'm going to translate according to him, but any translation is going to be pretty much close to what I'm saying. There's nothing unique on what I'm going to say. So, a praise of David, Tehillah LeDavid, I will exalt you, my God, the King, and bless your name forever and ever. This highlights the chashivas of the act of praising Hashem, as does the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, B'choyim avrachaka, ve'alashim chal yolam v'ed. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever. And this is all an introduction. It's all an introduction to the idea that I'm going to give praise, that praising Hashem is very important. And the Seder, this order of Sheva. And then we continue. Again, it's all the same thing. The God is great, and there is much acclaim to Hashem, and his greatness is unfathomable. Again, we haven't said anything yet. We're just saying that Hashem is praiseworthy, but we haven't said anything about Hashem. We're speaking in general terms about the greatness of Hashem and his majesty, but we haven't begun any actual Shvach. If we're paying attention to what we're saying in ASHRAE, like, it's just like, okay, like, we're getting there. And then we're going to highlight and go through into why all these individual psukim are important. But really, already by Pasuk Gimel, we still haven't said anything about our Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're still introducing Hashem as Gadol, and He's distinguished, and He's amazing. And then we continue into Os Dalet. Dor la'dor yishabach ma'asecha, gevuras v'yagidu. You know, one generation will laud your works to another, and they'll relate your mighty deeds. We're praising, we're talking about praising, but we're not praising yet. Hadar kvod hodecha, v'divrei nifosecha asicha, I'll discuss the splendor of your glorious majesty and the instances of your wonders. I'm going to talk about praising you yet. Again, we're getting the theme here. We're only talking about praising, but not actually praising yet. And then Zuzna Osech Yomeru, Ugdulascha Asaprena, they will talk of the might of your awesome acts, while I will tell of your greatness. Again, even to Osvav, still talking about what we're going to do. We're setting everything up. And all these indicate, in general, the greatness of the Melech and the cause for why Hashem is so great, and now I have to praise it. Fine. So Aleph through Vav is only a Hakdama. It's only an introduction to the actual Shevach of Asher. Just setting us up, getting us in the mood, so to speak, of what's about to come. That's the Hakdama. Now, Ashrei is broken into three sections. And each section is distinct. It is unique. It's clear in the style that it's changing. If you look in the Das Mikra of Pora Masada of Cook and their Perish on Navi and Tehillim, they say the same thing as well. There are a number of distinct sections to Ashrei. Let's begin with the first one. The first section is about that Hashem does chesed. The Os, beginning with Zion, is about that Hashem does chesed and kindness with the world. And from Os Zion on, we speak about the goodness and the tov and the mercy of Hashem. So let's read together. Zecher ravtucha yabiyu v'tzidkascha yiranim. They will reminisce your abundant goodness and sing joyously of your righteousness. Chanun v'racham Hashem erach apayim u'dal chesed. God is king and merciful. Again, chesed, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. Tov Hashem l'kol v'rachamav l'kol ma'asav. Hashem is good to all, and His mercies are upon all those works. Chesed, goodness. That's the theme over here. And then we focus on a different expressions now of chaste Hashem v'tuvah, the kindness of Hashem and His goodness. And then we conclude the section, the first section, meaning there's an introduction. There was an introduction, and now we're going to go into finish the section over here. Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha, v'chasidecha yivarchucha. All of your works will acknowledge you, meaning all of creation will acknowledge Hashem, O God, and your pious ones will bless you. And that's it. So from Os Zion to Yud, it's all about chaste Hashem, that Hashem is good, Hashem is great, and Hashem does for us. And this concludes the section, which will then lead into section 3 overall, but section 2 of the praises, which are praises for the Malchus of Hashem. And that's going to be the next section, how Hashem runs the world. Now, I just want to point out here, we're not going to discuss it in depth, but I just want to give you a sensitivity to pay attention to the words. There's clearly a difference between Hoda'a and Hala. There's clearly a difference. But seemingly, David HaMelech is using those words interchangeably. The first section that deals with Tov and goodness of Hashem and Chasei Hashem, it concludes Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha v'chasidecha yivrachucha. So it says there's still here. Okay, it said I was signed out, but I'm not here, right? Everybody still sees me talking? Okay, I got a message that I was signed out. Apparently that was not true. So we see here that it uses Yoducha and the idea Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha v'chasidecha yivrachucha. That talks about Tov and Chesed of Hashem. But in the next section, which is about Malchus, which is about Hashem's kingship, the way Hashem runs the world, we conclude the section Tilas Hashem yidaber vi v'yivarecha v'asar Hashem kol shel olam v'ed. For the Chasdei Hashem, we talk about Hoda, but for the Malchus of Hashem, we talk about Hilul and Tehila, a different Shorash. Okay, so I just want you to be sensitive to the fact that two different Shorashim are used in different areas. There's the aspect of Hallel, there's the aspect of Hoda. We often use it interchangeably. I will say that there's Hallel v'Hoda, and we kind of mix them around. But there is a difference. I just want you to think about it over the course of the next few weeks. What's the difference between Hallel? What's the difference between Hoda? And why is David choosing to use one in one place and the another in a different place? Okay, let's begin the second section of braids. The second section are the osios of Chaf Lamed Mem, or osios Melech. That's not per chance that the osios of Ashrei that talk about the Malchus of Hashem are the osios of Chaf Lamed and Mem, of Melech. That is not a mistake. Kvod Malchus Vayomeru Ugvuras Vayidaberu. They will talk of the glory of your kingship and speak of your might. Lahudia Livnei Ha'adam Gvurosav Uchvod Hadar Malchusav. To inform people of his mighty acts and to glorious splendor of his kingship. It's totally different now, right? We're not talking about chesed. We're not talking about kindness. We're not talking about tov. We're talking about Malchus, Gvura, power. This is the praise here. And then, famously, Malchuscha, Malchus Kololamim, Umem Shaltecha, Bechol Dor Vador. Your kingship is the kingship of all eternity, and your dominion, your power, is throughout the generations. The Mizmor then continues to describe, how is it that Hashem is knowing his Malchus? So, fine, Hashem's powerful, he's great, that's wonderful. But how does Hashem do it? He does it in the following way. And we know that we're obviously skipping a letter. What letter are we skipping here? Nun. And that's going to need a shmooze all on its own. What's going on with the os nun? But for now, we'll leave it. So mei Hashem l'chol anofrim v'zokeif l'chol akufim. The way Hashem shows his malchus, he shows his kingship, is that he supports the fallen and he straightens the bent. That's how he does it. The purpose of the Shevach is not to speak about his mercy. Again, because when do we talk about Hashem's mercy? In the previous section, that was Zion through Yud. We're not talking when Hashem. When you say Hashem here supports the fallen and he straightens the bent, we're not talking about his mercy. It's to specify a yesod, a foundation of how Hashem runs the world. The hanhaga and being of nature of this world is that it's established in the fact that Hashem is the bore. There's a natural world because Hashem created it, and that's why Hashem created the world. And this was complete at the ends of Sheshis Mebrachis that we read about a few weeks ago. Hashem created the world. And going forward, the rules of nature should run themselves, right? The Malchus of Hashem should run himself. We don't need anybody to interfere. The Malchus of Hashem, though, is that he is Zokev Kafufa, meaning that he raises or lowers within the natural order of the world things that are not established. Meaning within the laws of nature, it is not established who will have more, who will have less. There'll be no flim, there'll be people who are bent, there'll be people on top, there'll be people on the bottom. It's the hanhaga of Hashem that at every moment, there'll be people up and there'll be people down. And that shows Hashem's malchus. One day, a person has, you know, $500 million, and the next day, he loses it all. One day, a person can barely have food on the table for dinner, and then they have an invention or an investment, and the next day, you know, they're riding high. The constant flux of noflim and somchim, of zokef and kefufim, of people up and down, shows the malchus of Hashem, that Hashem is in charge of moving people up and down all the time, that there's going to be people who are successful sometimes, people on the bottom, people on top, and that all shows the malchus of Hashem. Again, of course Hashem supports people, but I know that from the first section of Ashrei. This is telling us of the power of Hashem, that every single moment Hashem gives parnasa, he gives gashmias, he can give chayim, he can give misi, he can give death, he can give health, he can give sickness, and he can be somach noflim, he can be matir asurim in any single moment. And we want to talk about the malchus, the kingship, the power of Hashem, the gvura of Hashem. We focus on the fact that Hashem is somach noflim and zokeh kefufim, that he can change everything in an instant. In a moment, those who are on top can be on the bottom, and those who are on the bottom will be on top the next day. And that shows the gevura of Hashem. Okay? So I think it's important because I think we could get confused and we would think that that pasuk really belongs in the earlier section, but it's not. It's right where it's supposed to be. David HaMelech was very clear. This shows a power of Hashem, a gevura of Hashem, that he's able to lift those and bring those down whenever needed. And therefore, we can, yeah.
I feel like this is like what Judaism views as like Gura. Like, don't make no sense in just speaking. Like, the non-Jews are like the outside world, whatever, use it like Gura as like strength and not caring about like other people and like just being strong. So, like, spirits like picking up the phone.
Good. Did we say this? Did we say such an idea earlier? That the way that Hashem shows his Gvura is through giving life? Did we say that here? I don't remember. Could be we did. I don't remember. But yes, it's true. In the rest of the world, a person shows their power by how much they can control, how much they can subjugate and tell a person what to do. Hashem shows his Gvura by giving life, by being Mechaim Mason. That's the Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Geshem is a sign of Gvura Hashem. All those things that give life and sustenance is a sign of Gvura. But again, just to be clear for a second, Hashem also can also go the opposite way. It's true. There's no flim. There are no flim. And there are kufufim. There are people who are bent. That does exist in the world. But at the same time, Hashem is able to do both. Hashem is able to raise up and to lower and raise up. 100%. Okay? So we combine the Shevach of Malchus and with the Gvuras Hashem as well. So, right, what do we say? We say, Kvod Malchuscha Yomeru, Ugvuraschi Daberu, Lahodia Livnei Hadam Gvurasav, Ukvod Adar Malchusa. We say that the Malchus of Hashem has aspects of Gvura, because the Malchus of Hashem works through Midas Hadin, Hashem's judgment. And this judgment will awaken people to a sense of Yiras Hashem. I was in my shul between Milchamar, we learn Mishlei, a few psukim of Mishlei with the parish of the Malbim. So the Malbim happens to say this, the piece that we learned this afternoon between Milchamar, the Malbim says this idea. The Malbim says that a person can only be an ethical, moral person if they have a sense of Yiras Shamayim, a sense that there's somebody above them, and you have to be held responsible to somebody greater than your own person. And then he says, a person can only have Yiras Shamayim if they know that there's Hashkacha Pratis. If a person doesn't believe in Hashkacha, that Hashem is intimately running the world, then why would they have Yiras Shamayim? Because how are they supposed to know? Maybe Hashem's not paying attention. Maybe I tricked him. Maybe Hashem was looking somewhere else. But if a person believes in Hashkacha, then he has to have Yiras Shamayim. And then the Malbim says, a person can only believe in Hashkacha Pratis if he has Das. If a person has a mind, if a person is not smart enough, if a person doesn't have intellect, then you can't have a sense of Yiras Shamayim. You can't have a sense of their Sparva Onesh. So the idea that there's Midas Hadin, the fact that there's Gvura, is an important part. I'm aware that we live in a generation, and certainly a generation that needs to hear that Hashem loves you and everything is wonderful all the time and everything is great. And that's true. Hashem does love you and everything is wonderful and everything is great all the time. But we also cannot ignore the fact that there's an aspect of Yiras Hashem. But there is an aspect to serving that you cannot have. If you only have Avas Hashem and you're only dancing around saying Hashem loves me no matter what, well, then at the end of the day, you're going to be a bit disappointed, because there has to be Yiras Shamayim as well. There has to be a sense that we're held responsible, that there's Scharva Onesh, that Hashem expects things of us, there's demands and there's responsibilities that we have to live up to at the end of the day. Okay? Very good. So the Mizmor continues, and then he says, Eine kol elach yitzaberu, v'yata nosen lahem es achlam b'yito. That everyone's eyes look to you with hope, and you give them their food in its time. Poseach es yadecha, maspilachol chayrot. So we know this is obviously the highlight of Ashrei, as it says so in the Arsh Kosir. But even before then, obviously this pasuk needs to be discussed at length. We'll leave that for another time. But you open your hands and satisfy every living thing with favor. And the pasuk describes the job of the melech. What's a melech supposed to do? Melech is only there to sit on his throne and to do nothing. The melech is to be concerned with providing the sustenance of his subjects, to take care of us. And this is the greatest shevach of the malchus of Hashem. The highlight of the malchus of Hashem within this world, that Hashem gives you exactly what you need and sustains you exactly the way you need to be kept. And that all of creation has what they need, with mazon, parnasa, whatever a person needs is provided by Hashem. Now, one of the most prominent aspects of the Hanhaga, of the way that Hashem runs the world, and the malchus of Hashem, is that he sustains and gives parnasa to all of creation at all times. The giving of mazon, the giving of food, the giving of a home, is only something that Hashem can do at a constant rate. And this is more prominent than any other part of the world that's part of Teva. The thing that speaks most to how Hashem's hand runs the world is the fact that he sustains the world. You just have to watch one National Geographic video about some bird in some far off country that needs a specific type of bug that only exists in that country, and that bug is only there because it's some sort of plant that only there as well. So everything is carefully balanced. And when something is thrown off and that bug disappears and goes extinct, so then that bird is in trouble. Hashem has carefully balanced the entire world in order to give them exactly what they need. I was listening to something on the radio the other day about a butterfly, a type of butterfly that is only really native to an army base in North Carolina. I think it's called Fort Bragg in North Carolina. And this butterfly is only found there. And after many years of research, this butterfly, which is on the edge of extinction, sometimes goes up to 3,000 butterflies at a time, sometimes down to 800 butterflies at a time. What they found is that this butterfly needs a certain type of grassy land that is only there because of the way that the marshes and the waters work over there. And because in this fort, they are constantly bombing and shelling and practicing like all their artillery over there. And it's a zone that nobody can go in. Nobody can walk there. It's prohibited to go and walk there because they're constantly bombing with shells and all types of military equipment. So because no one can walk there, people can't go there and mess it up. There are no human beings in like this huge amount of land. And because no human beings go there, these butterflies are able to be sustained and the human beings can't ruin their population. And because also the artillery and the bombs sometimes set off small fires in the area, it burns away the big trees that would not be good for the butterflies and it leaves only the low brush that is good for the butterflies. So this entire fort, which is only put there to practice military exercise, United States Army, is also, B'yad Hashem, sustaining 3,000 butterflies. That's how intricate the balance is. That if that fort were to move away, those butterflies would all be dead. And you would think the opposite. You think this military place where there's fire and gunshots everywhere is bad for them. It's actually sustaining them. It's so careful and calibrated down to every single thing. Every single thing we need from a Kadosh Baruch Hu is carefully managed in everything, every single position for what we need. So the Gemara in Pesachim says, Amar of Yochanan, that Hashem sits all the way up on the top of the world and he gives mos and he gives food to all of creation. The last section of the Shvachim of Ashrei, the fourth section overall, but the last section of the praises is really a combination. The last section of Ashrei is a combination of the previous two. In philosophy, sometimes we talk about that there is a thesis, an antithesis, and then synthesis. There is the A, the opposite of A, and then you bring the opposite of A and B together. We began with the chesed of Hashem, right? And the tov, the goodness of Hashem. And then we move over to the other extreme, the gvura, the power, the hanhaga, the way the king, the melech, rules the world with his power. And now we're going to combine them. We're going to talk in the last section of Ashrei about the way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with those who are closest to him. That there's a special relationship, not the whole world, not the way he runs everything, but rather a select group of people who are close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is a combination of chesed and gura, meaning that Hashem is mashpia, that Hashem overflows with chesed and tov without examining our actions too closely, but only with a select few, right? So it's gvura in the sense that not everybody gets the sovus chesed, but it's chesed because Hashem is being very nice to these people. So it's a combination. We're meshing together the chesed and the gvura of Hashem into one area. So let's begin the last section. Sadiq Hashem b'chol d'rachav, v'chassid b'chol ma'asav. God is righteous. Righteousness is a sign of power, that Hashem is exacting. There's staka. Righteousness is you get exactly what you deserve, okay? And he's benevolent in all his deeds. Meaning the actions of Hashem are tzedek. They're meaning there's hanhaga, there's malchus, the king is righteous. Whatever the king does is 100% correct. And there's a gevura running the world. However, he's chassid b'chol ma'asav, right? So tzedek and chesed. We're going to combine them together to create a mix over here. But there's a chesed and rachamim within the tzedek, within the righteousness. And this is manifest in three different levels, okay? The next three psukim, the kuf, the resh, and the shin, are now going to talk about three different levels, which we will discuss in depth when we get there in a few weeks. But let's just break them down. Pay attention. Karov Hashem l'chol karav, l'chol ashir kruvianas. The first level is karav, those who call to him. Hashem is near to all those who call to him, who call to him with emes, with sincerity. Then the second level is Ratzon Yureyav Yaseh Yashavasam Yishma V'Yosheim. The next level is Yureyim. Those people, he fulfills the will of those who fear him, and he also hears their cry and saves them. So Korav and Yureyav. And the last level of the relationship of the select clique that's close to Hashem is Shomer Hashem Eskol Ohavav. The Eskol Rishon Yashmin. Hashem protects all those who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. So we need to learn about at some point the Korav, the Yureyav, and the Ohavav. What those three levels are, what they're doing, and how does Hashem treat them, and why are they special from the rest of the world? And this is the, and that's really the conclusion of Asher. We'll get to the last pasuk in a second, but that's the conclusion. So just to review, this is the organization. The Asher begins with an introduction of Shivchei Hashem. The introduction is praises of Hashem. We're going to praise Hashem now, and we have the right to praise Hashem. The second thing is talking about the chesed and the tov, the goodness of Hashem. The third section of Ashrei is the gevura, the malchus, the power of Ashrei and Hashem. And then finally, that mixing of gevura and chesed with those special relationships with those who are close to him. Not for the whole world. Some people are excluded. That's part of the gevura. But with those people who are included, hopefully us, so then there's chesed, a special level of chesed with those people. And this structure, by the way, is not only to Ashrei. This is actually, whoever's been following along for this long, we discuss this by Baruch Shamar. You can go and listen to the Shir on Baruch Shamar. In Baruch Shamar, we do the same thing. And we find the same structure in Tanakh and other places as well. There are three areas where we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. There's Hashem as a Borei Olam, a creator of the world. Baruch Osa Gracious, Baruch Omer V'Yosa, Baruch Gozer Mekayim. Okay? So that's the fact that he created the world. That's his chesed, that he created the world. Then we say that Hashem runs the world. Baruch Merachem al Aretz, Baruch Merachem al Bios, that he is in charge of the land itself. And then he has a special anhaga with those close to him. Baruch Podu Masa, Baruch Chai Lav V'Kayim L'Nesach, Baruch Meshom Sachar Tov L'Reyav. So it's mimicking, Baruch Shamar is mimicking that structure of Ashrei. This is what we call in Sifrei Machshava in Kabbalah, that there's chesed, there's gvura, and teferes. Chesed is kindness, gvura is strength, means hadin, and teferes means a mixture, a combination of the both. We see that, where do we see this structure three as well, of chesed, gvura, and teferes? We see it with the avos, right? Avram is chesed, as we're learning about in these parashas. Yitzchak is gvura, strength, seriousness, and Yaakov is teferes. Yaakov is a mixture of his Zaydi and his father, of the chesed and the gevura of his parents together to create Tiferes, this balance. So the conclusion over here is that we go all the way back to the beginning. This is also the Yesod we find in Davening Melech, we find in Davening. At the end of a section, we go back to our beginning theme. And we ask Hashem that we should always be able to praise Hashem. Tehilas Hashem, Yidaver Pi, V'Yivarech HaBasar, Shem Kar Shol Yom Goed. That my mouth will speak the praise of Hashem, and all flesh, all of humanity will bless his holy name forever and ever. And that's really the end of Ashrei. We kind of go back to the beginning of the idea that we should have the zechus in order to praise Hashem. And they'll say, v'anachnu barach Yah, where's that from? Well, it's not part of Tilm Kuf Mem Hei. That's also an additional thing that was added on afterwards. We'll talk about where that comes when we get up to it. We'll discuss how it came to be added on. So that is a basic overview of Ashrei. Any questions? Did I leave anything else? No? We're all clear? Okay. That's Ashrei. That's the basic overview of Ashrei. Hopefully this coming week on our Wednesday morning, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday until we come back to Tuesday night, we should try to think over this process. You know, again, we're getting into the range where, as we said in the beginning, I recommend, you know, your sitter can be used as a safer. It's appropriate to make notes, to write in it, to highlight things, you know, to make notes, make a mark. You know, I'm now beginning the Hakdama to Ashrei. And make a note, this is the introduction to Shevach HaHashem. And then we get to O Zion. I'm now beginning to talk about the Chesed of Hashem. And then we get to O Schaf. I'm now beginning to talk about the Gevura and the Malchus of Hashem. And then you come to O Sadi. I'm now going to talk about the Teferes, the combination of the Chesed and the Gevura, and to bring it all together. So use your siddur. Your siddur is a book to be learned from, to be engaged with, to be written in order to process it. I don't care how nice the leather binding is or who it was inscribed by. It's meant to be written in, meant to be used, and meant to be, you know, it should be used. You don't want your children and your grandchildren to look at your siddur, you know, at the end of your life, oh, it's so perfectly clean. And like, you know, it's like she never used it. No, you want to, your siddur should be look like it was used and people were davening from it. So try to chazer over these ideas. So the big picture. And then next week, Bezos Hashem, we'll get into the particulars and go back to the beginning. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.